But we're going to divide up quickly tonight. We're going to do the baby dedication first. We only have one to dedicate. And so I'm going to ask, if you will, Brother and Sister McFarland, if you'll come up and sit right here for a few minutes, and this precious little one. What a joy when families want to give their children back to the Lord, because they're heritage to the Lord. And they got one now, smiles all the time. Amen. Amen. What I want to do, just say a few words, and then we'll have the baby dedication, and then after that we'll go right into communion. But the scripture teaches us in Psalm verse 127, the Bible says, "Lo, children are the heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." There's something about that God gives respect as far as children are concerned, because that's how it's the reason he gave to Adam and Eve the means of reproducing. And of course, he wants the children to be raised in the admonition of the Lord. If you look over in Ephesians, you also find in the New Testament where God said through the Apostle Paul, and he also said this as he wrote to, Paul wrote to the church at Colossians in chapter 3 and verse 21. But in Ephesians 6, verse 4, as he gives instructions about the domestic life, different things, what children should do, honor their father and mother, and so forth. But in verse 4, it says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." Now, to provoke not means not to stir up or in anger, but it also doesn't mean that you to let them have their way, because there has to be a training of all of us. And in the small years of a child's life is when that training is most valuable, as you get the basic things are done. He said, bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. That is, in the discipline and the admonition of the Lord. There are some things you have to say no to a child. You have to. There are some things you have to correct. God knew that. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And he gives them to us as parents for the purpose of raising them so they'll realize that who he is by the time they get grown. At least know about him to the place they can personally trust him if the Holy Spirit deals with their heart, and he will deal with their heart. And the thing about children is also as they grow up, they learn to respect the mother and dad, because the Bible teaches them to honor their father and mother. And the reason for that, if they cannot honor and will not honor those that they see, they'll not honor God they cannot see. God tells us that in 1 John. So you have to realize there's a lot of information about what children should be doing. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, but this world mentality of raising children is not biblical. Now, they're really putting us in a bind to do something biblically. But I'm telling you, God's word works. And if you don't believe it, you no matter, people say, well, you have sin always. Yes, you had sin always, but it didn't personify itself like it does now. I mean, there was places going up, and most everybody here, remember, if you got an age on you, there are certain parts of town and sections of a county you didn't go into much because they said that's not a proper place for a person to be. They always had those things. But now, you know, there's no, if you even put a sign up, a red light district, they'd probably arrest you because they don't look at such a things as that. So thank God for us who try our best to know what God has to say. And in turn, parents who say, Lord, I believe this comes from you. You give us the ability. We don't have the power to recreate ourselves through procreation. God gave that ability in the way he made us. And so God's the author of the life of each one of us, even when it starts in the womb. So tonight, we generally do this responsibly, but I'm going to just read out to you that as we look at little ones like this, and as parents see the need to get their child back to the Lord, dedicate them to the Lord, then we also want to realize that not only have they a responsibility, but we have a responsibility as a church body. I mean, these children need to see dedicated, consecrated, God-fearing people who are raised, who they are around as they come up, and don't all of a sudden see someone who's in the frying pan, so to speak, and then the time they get grown, you can't even find them in church nowhere or another. But we're living in that day today. We need to understand that God needs to see God's children who he allows to be born into a family until they come of age. They are his because they're protected by the blood. And then if they come of age, then they have to, on the personal side, trust Jesus Christ as Savior. And that's where it turns into parents. But the parents are obligated to do it, but the church is also obligated to see when they come here, they hear the same message that they hear at home. Or if they're at home, they hear the same message they hear at the church, because we all have just the same Bible. We trust the same God. So we say this to this little one tonight and to the parents as a body of believers, that our pledge to the children is simply this. There's six of these. We as a body of believers pledge that we will remember that it takes a lot of love to make good children. We promise that we will never say no if we can possibly say yes. We pledge that we will really be with you when we are with you. We pledge to you that we will try to see things from a child's point of view, even though we have been there. There's a lot of things we understand as far as older we get. We live in kind of a different world, though it's the same world, but according to where we're at age. We promise to be a good waiter and a listener. We also promise to do all we can to put your hand into the hand of the Heavenly Father. And so tonight, Sister McFarland has brought their little, I guess it's a little girl, to be sure I get it right. But her name is Emmeline Faith McFarland. And at this time, we'd like to come up here, sister, and we'll do our... There we go. She's not laughing now, is she? Bless your heart. Emmeline, your mother and dad loves you so much, they want to give you and dedicate you back to God. That's the love you don't understand now, but you will understand one day as you get older. And so what we'd like to do tonight, before we pray, we anoint your head for the purpose that you can learn the things about God, academics and otherwise, but the day will come, the Lord doesn't come for the church, that you can live, and the day will come, you come of age, that you'll understand the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, you will know him as your personal Savior. We also dedicate your hands that you would work for him here as you get older. You may learn the wonderful things about the Lord. Their desire is that you come up to know Jesus as Savior. It might be one day, who knows, you might be a dear wife of a missionary or a preacher. We also dedicate your feet as you walk with God and you come older in life, that you would be able to walk in the center of God's will, find his will for your life, and also walk in that will for the glory of God. Your mother and dad give you to the Lord tonight and thank him for the heritage of you being put into your heritage that would come from them, that God has trusted you with them. And we go to the Lord in prayer. Now, our Father, we thank you again for this little one. We thank you for this family, Lord. This world has got a lot of heartaches in it. There's a lot of things that we have to face. Lord, it's worse now for children to grow up than ever before. There was a time that when a child went to even a public school, there was discipline, there was back guidelines, and therefore it kind of sit around the home. So what was in the home went to the school, what was in the school went to the home. They kind of came together. It's not that way anymore. And Lord, we thank you, though, to know here's a family, as all families who dedicate their children to the Lord. They love you first, they love their child, and they know it's from you that they have her. And I pray that you give them the wisdom to be what they need to be as a dad, as a mother for this child. Help us as a church to be what we need to be as this child perchance is raised in this church. Dear Lord, that they might see not only mother and dad, but people in the church who love the same God, who serve the same God, dear Father, and because of that, they're in an environment that where they can come to know him as their personal Savior. For we ask this in Jesus' name, and for his sake we pray. Amen. God bless you. God bless you, sister. Amen. Okay. And you can see them after the service tonight for a few minutes. And then the next thing, of course, what better way as we dedicate tonight, also look in the scriptures, and I want to turn over just to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we'll read and go into the communion service where the Apostle Paul picks up what God had shown him. This is some 26 years after what Jesus had given up in the upper room. And Paul said, For I have received the Lord, For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation for to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. You know, there's a lot of places across this country every week who go through what is called communion, but it's not Bible. It's just not biblical. This is biblical. And no one has access to this unless they're saved. It's for God's children. It's not open to the world. It's open for God's children. And we here tonight do this because our Lord told us to do that, as he told the disciples and passed it on. And even now, when Paul met with the Lord some 3 years plus there after he was called on the road to Damascus, God revealed this wonderful thing of the Lord to do. One of the ordinance that God gave to the church to do, that we might understand what it means to stop in our path, examine where we're at. And this, I'll just give you quickly what you see. First of all, communion is designed to help us participate in God's work so we'll be clean. It's commemorated. He said, This do in remembrance of me. In other words, remember what Jesus has done for us. His broken body, his shed blood. To forget would be a sin. To forget would be a terrible thing, because, ladies and gentlemen, it was no picnic. I've said it hundreds of times when Christ went to Calvary and died. Also, to identify ourselves, we identify ourselves with his body and his blood and realize how much we need what he did at Calvary. He said, examine yourself also. We're to examine ourselves concerning sin. And you'll find in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, Paul tells us to examine ourselves, see we're being the faith or not, because it's important to realize that if we are doing things in the name of the Lord and have not born into the family of God, we're really reprobates. That's what 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 says. Examine yourself and be sure of who you are, lest you be a reprobate. And then he tells us an expectation in verse 26 here, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Communion looks backwards to his cross and forward to his coming. And then we see in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, where the writer tells us that this is what we should do. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Now, the sacrifice we give today is not only ourselves, but it is the sacrifice of praise to him. As we look at what he's done for us. Then in verse 16 he said, But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Isn't it an amazing thing that we can even please God? Blows my mind. We can't outside of Christ. But in Jesus Christ, when he saves us, God says, I've laid the format out. You've got the documentation in my word. You have your textbook. If you'll find out and study this, I'll show you my will for your life. And what happens, you can start out by just giving him praise, giving him honor, and finding God's will for your life. When you do that, do good and to communicate, forget not. That is, we are to tell the story about Jesus Christ. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, it's just not just here in this pulpit. It's every last one of us when we go out those doors. We're to tell the story of Christ. Now, I hear sometimes people say, well, I just don't know the plan of salvation. Well, it's very easy to learn, but if you don't know it, just give your testimony. If you got saved, you got a testimony. Now, I got a testimony. You weren't saved like I was. Some of you were saved, from the worst thing of sin. Others were saved when you thought they were like me. Everything's okay. Going to church, man, church member, just everything just okay. And God's word cut into your heart. So we have to understand that God is touching us, and our testimony is one of the sweetest things you and I have. And don't get tired of telling. I look at Paul. You study Paul's life. He told his testimony of where he went. You go in the book of Acts, every time he went before someone, he was giving a testimony about what happened to him. So learn the plan of salvation. It's easy. In fact, I've got a message I preached back a few years ago, the plan of salvation. Got it this week. I'm going to give it to Glenn. I think I'll make a CD of that because we're getting some people to ask now for messages from time to time on subjects. And here's a case, I think, where I went through at this church in a message about the plan of salvation. And who knows? It's very, like I said, you can give your testimony. So tonight we come to do what the Lord said. First of all, to search ourselves and be sure that this time we can be just as clean tonight as it was the day you got saved because of 1 John 1:9. We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So at this particular time, I ask you to bow your head with me.